This episode of Clearview Today is brought to you by Mighty Muscadine. David, let me ask you, how's your immune system lately?
It's honestly in critical condition.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. But what if I told you that similar to our immune system, which produces more antibodies when under attack, the muscadine grape also produces more damage-fighting antioxidants when under stress from the environment it grows in, leading to a host of health benefits?
I'd gobble them up like Tic Tacs.
Well, my friend, MightyMuscadine.com has everything you could ever need to take your health game to the next level. All their products are gluten-free, trans-fat-free, non-GMO, dairy-free, and best of all, they actually taste delicious.
I can attest to that personally. I had some of their protein powder just this morning, and it's delicious.
I know that's
their
right.
Their grape juice is delicious.
Tell it.
Their antioxidant beverages, delicious.
Preach on.
Their shampoo, their body lotion, all delicious.
What?
Best I've ever had.
I'm glad to hear that you liked it, but try not to eat the shampoo.
Too late. And I'll tell you something else. Mighty Muscadine believes in protecting God's great earth for generations to come. That's why their farming and production is environmentally friendly, and they make every effort to protect and preserve without the use of pesticides and herbicides.
You ate shampoo, though. You said your immune system was in critical condition? I think I know why.
The only problem is I'm a little short on funds.
Well, fret no more, my friend. We're going to talk about that later, but fret no more. You can visit MightyMuscadine.com and use promo code TODAY, that's T-O-D-A-Y, to unlock exclusive savings at checkout. Again, use promo code T-O-D-A-Y at checkout to enjoy a significant discount on all your purchases of Mighty Muscadine products. And listen, every single dollar you spend using that promo code helps support us here at the Clearview Today Show.
Remember, that promo code is TODAY. T-O-D-A-Y. A healthier, happier you is just a click away.
Welcome back, everyone. Today is Tuesday, January the 30th. I'm Ryan Hill.
John Galantis.
And you're listening to Clearview Today with Dr. Abadan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com, or if you have any questions for Dr. Shah or suggestions for new topics, send us a text to 252-582-5028, or you can email us at contact@clearviewtodayshow.com.
That's right, and you guys can help us keep the conversation going forward by supporting the show. You can share it online with your friends and your family. Leave us a good review on iTunes or Spotify, anywhere you get your podcasting content from. We're going to leave a link in the description so you can do just that.
The verse of the day comes from Jude chapter 1. There is only one chapter in Jude, isn't there?
Jude. Yeah,
so this is Jude.
I don't know why I put Jude 1.
It's the first chapter. It's also the only chapter.
I was in a rush and I put Jude 1.
No, I mean, Jude, the only chapter.
There you go.
Verses 24 and 25. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever.
I mean, that truly is the heart of worship. That's what we aspire to do when we worship, is to say, God, to you be glory and majesty. All that stuff is to you. And then as an afterthought, the icing on the cake is you help us. You present us faultless before the presence of your glory. You give us exceeding joy. But we worship you because of who you are, and we thank you for what you've done. And that's always been the proper order of our worship.
And one of the things I appreciate the most about you and Dr. Shah, the way that you craft worship sets together, is that the songs are geared in such a way that it shifts our focus not to who we are
right.
and to the things that are wrong in our lives or the things that are broken about us, mm-hmm. but to who Christ is and
that's
what
right.
he's done for us. Because that's the proper posture of worship, but it's such a rare focus in popular worship songs.
We got to get into the grapevine. It's Tuesday, right?
It was a hard shift
into
the grapevine.
I was thinking about it. I was like, how can I get into the grapevine now? Because that's such a great picture of who God is. Now I have to instantly be negative.
Yeah.
Welcome to the grapevine. Doink. So this is something that has eaten away at me for decades now at this point.
Decades?
Decades.
You've only been around for three. So.
And so I would say maybe a decade and a half.
Okay.
When I have to back into a parking spot.
Hate it.
Oh, so you're with me.
Immediately hate it. I hate it. Cancel it.
Okay. Sometimes it can't be helped. That doesn't mean that I can't gripe about it. I hate having to back into a parking spot because I typically drive big cars. Mm-hmm. I'll drive like SUVs. Now, sometimes I'll drive Ellie's little Ford Fusion. That's cute and that's fine, whatever. But when there's like a big parking lot full of cars and I'm having to try to navigate, and now I'm like, do I just use the mirror? Do I lean out? Do I send someone out of the car? What do I do?
Mm-mm.
If I'm by myself, it's sort of okay.
If I'm by myself, I just go home.
What?
Yeah, just give up. It's like give up. No, just sorry. Drive off. I'll try again tomorrow.
I love to see because I can back out of a parking spot no problem.
Yeah.
But then it's really bad when I'm with someone.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, I can't. I don't know if I can get in here. And they're like, oh, just back in. And I really, really the gripe is people who just say that like yeah. It's no big deal.
Yeah, oh, easy for you to say. You're not the one behind the wheel.
Right. Yeah, just back into the parking spot. Yeah. It's all good. And then they sit back and relax in the passenger seat.
Yeah.
I can't stand that.
I hate backing into a spot.
I do
now,
too.
I will say backup cameras have kind of changed the game.
True.
Those are becoming more and more sort of standard in vehicles. And we have a backup camera in our minivan. Love it.
Yes.
It is super helpful. It has that sensor where if you get too close to things. But even still, it's not a perfect system.
No,
there's still blind spots.
And a lot of people don't have them. I only had a backup camera when I got the Honda Pilot back in like 2019. And even then, I don't use it that much because I try to avoid backing into parking spots. Yeah.
Write in and let us know your experience with backing up your vehicles, especially if they're larger and especially if you're a guy. Write in and let us know. 252-582-5028. Or you can get online and email us at contact@clearviewtodayshow.com. Stay tuned. We'll be back after this.
Hello, Clearview family. I'm Nicole.
And I'm David.
And we want to talk to you today about the Clearview app.
You know, there are so many churches out there that put their sermons on YouTube and their announcements on Facebook and their prayer list on Periscope.
I didn't even know Periscope was still functional.
Oh, it's not. And that's why nobody can find their church's prayer list and nobody's prayers be getting answered. But here at Clearview, we believe in making our content as accessible as possible.
That's right. Clearview produces so much content every single week, including Dr. Shaw's sermons, original music, a full online store, weekly prayer gatherings, and so much more.
Not to mention the number one best-selling Christian talk show of all time.
I don't know if that's accurate.
Well, maybe not yet, but that's why we want people to download the app.
If you're listening from the Triangle area, we encourage you to check out Clearview Church in person. But if not, you can still follow all of our content on the Clearview app. It's 100% free on the Apple Store and Google Play Store. And best of all of our content is right there in one convenient spot.
Make sure you download the Clearview app today, and let's get back to the show.
Welcome back to Clearview Today with Dr. Abadan Shaw, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com, or if you have any questions or suggestions for new topics, send us a text at 252-582-5028.
That's right, and we are here once again in the Clearview Today studio on this fabulous Taco Tuesday
with Dr.
Abadan Shaw, who is a PhD in New Testament textual criticism, professor at Carolina University, author, full-time pastor, and host of today's show. Dr. Shaw, scale of 1 to 10, I just got to know, how would you rate yourself on backing into a parking spot? You got a big truck now.
I do. I don't always feel successful. It's after back and forth 4 or 5 times that I can make it in. It's because my truck is big.
Yeah, that's true.
That's funny. Well, you know, you gotta sharpen the skill. It's something you gotta work toward. It's not something that comes naturally, but it's something you gotta work on and refine. And it's the same is true with, you know, being able to articulate theology.
Ooh.
Being able to articulate what it is that we believe and the finer points of doctrine. And, you know, one person who did that very well was Mr. Francis Schaeffer.
Let me ask you this. Do these segues come naturally, my friend? Because your transitions have been on point.
Well, you know, it's something I've been working on, something I've been, you know, committing to sharpening in 2024. So trying to have the smooth transitions. Today, of course, is Francis Schaeffer's birthday. Famous American theologian.
You know, we talked about R.A. Torrey yesterday, and I'm willing to bet there were some Christian listeners out there who would be like, now who is that? But everybody, you know Francis Schaeffer. At least you've heard
Heard the name,
that's right.
I feel like. Most
I would
people.
Like to think people have. Unfortunately, the further we're getting away from his time, and he passed away, I was trying to get the time right, 1984.
Okay.
Yeah. He died in 1984. Since then, not many people remember him as much in outside circle.
Mm-hmm. I'm not going to lie. I'm looking at a picture of him right now. It says the Reverend Francis Schaeffer. This sweater he's got on is almost as clean as yours.
Oh, well, thank you.
Almost.
Now, I'm liking the little beard. I'm liking the little...
The goatee?
Little goatee.
Is he wearing his knickerbockers?
It's just a headshot.
Okay.
I don't love how much he looks like George Carlin with the slicked back hair.
He does kind of look like George Carlin.
But I'm liking the little pointed goatee. That's
Mr.
nice.
Reverend Francis Schaeffer just give a big shake of the head when you compared him to George Carlin.
You know what? I'll say this.
There's not a whole lot I like about George Carlin. Let's just put it that way.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm with you. Yeah, I think George Carlin is the wannabe Francis Schaeffer. How about that?
He will never be.
He's not, yeah, he's not even the same zip code.
No. Yeah, but that's true.
not the same ballpark, not the same county, not the same zip code, not
universe?
The same state. No.
No, not even the same.
No,
universe.
Completely alternate universe.
Happy birthday, Francis Schaeffer.
That's right.
So, Francis Schaeffer, I mean, we know that he's a theologian, but we don't necessarily know much more than that. What else is he known for? What are some notable things from his life?
My introduction to Francis Schaeffer happened in 1992.
Mm.
And I'm sitting in Western Civ class.
That's the year I was born.
Were you really?
Yes, yes.
I'm sitting in Western Civilization class. I had just come back from India. It was a J-term class, so just 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, fine, let's just do this. Let's just get this over with. And my professor, Dr. Doug Matthews, he, great guy, real friendly, real nice, real has his ability to connect with young people. Right. And so I was like, okay, I'll enjoy this class. And then we had this textbook, How Should We Then Live?
Mm.
So I was like, oh my goodness, they want us to read this in 2 weeks? Yeah, that's not happening. That's going to happen.
I love the time difference, because now it's like 2 weeks. Yeah, give me a little bit. I'll get it done. But like, you take the college kids, like, nope.
Absolutely
not going to happen.
2 weeks,
even what? With the illustrations and the pictures, not going to happen.
Not going to happen. But anyways, I said, okay, I'll do the best I can. And there was another text too. There were like two texts. And then it was there was a set of videos we were going to watch. So I'm like, oh, this sounds great. Now, and we were in the chapel. Tocoa Falls College had a chapel,
mm-hmm.
and this class was being held in the chapel. And so they would turn down the lights, and I'm like, ah, it's comfortable. But it was anything but comfortable. In fact, I was hooked.
Mm. Wow.
I was hooked watching these videos. I mean, they were okay. They were not like super professional, but the content was riveting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The content was, and keep in mind, I am only, at the time, I was only 18 years old.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's not like I was what I am today. I was not going in the ministry at the time. And at 18 years of age, I'm just like, wow, this man is really making sense
mm-hmm.
of where the culture is, where the world is. I'm getting this.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm in.
And that's one of the things that I know is a goal of yours even today. That's a way that Francis Schaeffer has impacted you, is that I know that in your preaching, that's sort of your goal in a lot of ways, is that you would just click, you would that in someone's mind. You know
right.
what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That
right.
you could see the light bulb moment of this right. man, I get it. I get what he's saying.
Yeah.
Right, right. So talk about his life a little bit. He was born in 1912, and this is in Germantown, Pennsylvania. Children of working class parents of German ancestry, and they were nominal Christians, but then he even attended a Presbyterian church, sort of liberal side of things, but then later on he came to know the Lord. This is in 1930. After reading the Bible for about 6 months, he realized when he read the book of Genesis what it means that God gave his son for him.
Mm-hmm.
And he was not only convinced that the Bible was true, but he was also convinced that this book has the answers to all the basic philosophical questions of life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This book has the answers. In fact, later on, I think it's he's the one who said, if I had only like an hour with somebody, or maybe 30 minutes or 10 minutes, something like that. I can't remember now. He said, I'll spend the bulk of my time in Genesis chapter 1 and 2.
Wow.
And then bring in chapter 1, 2, and 3, and then I'll explain what happened.
Wow.
In the last few minutes. What happened when sin came in? What happened when there was a fall? What happened when God sent his son into wow. this world to save what had gone wrong?
Yeah.
That's such a different approach than yeah. what we normally hear. I mean, you right. hear people just go straight to Romans or straight to the cross or and right. I mean,
the easy grab.
We should talk about that.
Yeah.
But Genesis 1 and 2, I mean, that's the foundation for everything.
That's right.
That lays the road ahead of us.
That's right. And then he went on to several seminaries. He went to Westminster Theological Seminary. This is a place founded by J. Gresham Machen and others. And he studied under Cornelius Van Til, a famous theologian, apologist. He studied his works. He studied also under John Murray. I mean, so, you know, some very, very famous names, Reformed.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's where his faith began to grow, or his knowledge began to grow mm-hmm. of Christianity. And then he moved here and there. He pastored churches. And, of course, he moved to Europe. And this is in 1948 after he met his wife. And that's where, you know, we hear a lot about L'Abri. This was a... L'Abri in French means the shelter.
Mm.
This is the place where which he founded, where young people, this is back by the time of the 60s, began to come from all over the world to just be there.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of like a retreat.
With the Schaeffers.
Like
yeah.
a retreat sort of seminary hybrid thing.
That's right. And say that he was sometimes referred to as the prophet of the 60s.
Wow.
Mm,
yeah,
wow.
Yeah. This is Francis Schaeffer, the prophet of the 60s. Remember the 60s counterculture,
mm-hmm.
The hippie movement and mm-hmm. all that, disillusionment, anti-establishment.
Mm-hmm.
And Schaeffer was one of those guiding lights for lots and lots and lots of young people.
As in he stood right. against all those things? He stood against the counterculture movement?
It was not like he was standing against it, but he was pointing the light.
Okay.
Mm.
Showing the way to people who otherwise had become disillusioned.
Yeah.
So it was like, yes, but.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the truth of Christ.
That's right.
Yeah.
Wow.
So like the disillusionment sets in, people are naturally kind of drifting, and he kind of sets up L'Abri as a way to say, right. hey, as you're searching, as you are walking away, let me show you something to walk toward.
That's right.
You wow. know, it's
right.
interesting because I feel like a lot of churches nowadays want to emulate the culture.
Right.
They want yeah. to, they want, and it's all under the guise of capturing the culture. Mm. But, you know, here at Clearview, we truly want to capture culture.
Right.
Not by meeting them where they are, but by, I guess, showing that the church is not separate from culture, if that makes
right.
sense. You
yeah.
know, this cultural mandate that we have at Clearview.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And cultural mandate and things like that are coming from Francis Schaeffer.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
they
really
are.
Awesome.
Francis Schaeffer, Nancy Murphy, and then. You know, those are the kind of people I got the idea of cultural mandate.
Yeah.
From.
How do you balance engaging with secular culture while remaining true to biblical values when culture outside rejects those biblical values?
So another person that greatly impacted Francis Schaeffer's life was Abraham Kuyper,
mm-hmm.
the Dutch president, prime minister. Theologian, pastor. I mean, he was so many things, Abraham Kuyper. I don't agree with him on every aspect of his theology.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just be the first to say to you that he doesn't. But I do love his statement. Remember the statement I made, a Kuyper statement, that there's not a single inch of place in this entire universe over which Jesus does not cry out, mine.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's Kuyper. And Kuyper influenced Schaeffer. And that's part of the legacy that I pick
mm-hmm.
and say that's how we should think.
Yeah.
Every bit of the ground or every inch of this entire universe belongs to Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're simply claiming what is already his.
Yeah.
And this is not some Christian reconstructionism. This is not, you know, where the kingdom rule kind of thing. You know, we're not doing that. That gets weird.
Mm-hmm.
But can we not spiritually say that this world belongs to Christ and I'm simply building his kingdom, where I'm simply trying to be the salt and light that he called us to be.
That's right.
Can we not claim that? Yeah, we can.
Absolutely.
And that's what Francis Schaeffer was trying to do.
You know, I see a lot of that in the way that we lead here at Clearview Church, recognizing that culture is falling away, but rather than being hopeless about it, or rather than just standing firm for the sake of stubbornness or the sake of being firm yeah. and planted, that you encourage Christians to appreciate beautiful things like the arts and engaging culture in a way that honors Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not running from it, not standing firm and leaving them to their own devices, but to go about our lives with love.
Yeah. Right.
Right.
And true biblical love, not acceptance of sin.
Right, right. And that's the key. I mean, he talked about, if I can find this place where he talked about the importance of holiness, if I can find that spot. But anyways, that was very important to him.
Well, that's another thing that we talk about here on the show. I know while he's looking for that, we talk about truth and mercy, truth and love. They can't exist apart from each other.
No, it's two sides of the same coin, and you have to hold them together.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it may call for more truth applied. Sometimes it may call for more mercy applied. But they should always be together, because that's how Christ worked.
Right.
He pointed people toward truth, but he did so in a way that was loving.
Right. And that's one of our goals, even from the very conception of this show, that was one of our goals, is that every episode has both.
Yeah.
It has the mercy of Christ, but it also has Christ's truth.
Yep.
And not one can exist without the other.
That's right.
Well, you said something about the truth. He was very conservative.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sometimes hard to find, because there are people out there, or have been in the past 20, 30 years, they are great. I love their persona, their personalities. But then when I examine them deeply or more deeply, it's like they're fudging over a simple conviction like inerrancy of Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
They cannot seem to make up their minds, or they're just like, well, you know, I'm sort of, yeah, but maybe we need another term kind of thing. And I'm like, oh, you just gave up a very critical doctrine of our faith, which is the Bible is the Word of God.
And you gave it up as though it was a bargaining chip or something that you could get back later if you
wanted. Yeah, And I'm sorry, that's you compromise. And they will be like, well, you know, there are people in our under the same umbrella who may not believe in inerrancy, but they have the same convictions. And I'm not impressed by that kind of statement.
Yeah.
If you say that, then what other doctrine will you also be sort of open in your umbrella?
That's a good point.
Right? Would you also be open to maybe Jesus is not fully God, or maybe not fully man? Maybe are you also open to the fact that there are other ways to God?
Mm.
Are you also open to the fact that maybe there is not a real hell on the other side?
Yeah. Mm.
What else are you open to?
Right.
So I like Schaeffer because he stood against liberalism. He stood against things like neo-orthodoxy. He was truly a prophet in a sense.
Yeah.
In a sense, because he saw what was coming to Western culture.
Mm. Yeah. Well, I think that's also very telling, because I think it's rare nowadays, like we were saying earlier, to find someone who is conservative but willing to engage with culture.
Right.
Yeah.
Because when most people think of conservatives, they think of old stuffy old men and women who just wish they could live in the past.
Well, it usually takes one of two caricatures in popular media. You either have the person curmudgeonly, like crying out, like you're all wrong and hatefully responding.
Right.
Or you have the person who's like frozen chosen, like I don't want to go anywhere near culture. Mm-hmm. We're just going to stay over here and us four and no more.
Right.
Well, one of his clarion calls we often quote today, but we don't give him the credit for that, but he often called people to be radicals for Christ.
Mm-hmm.
We say that, right? And some say, be a radical, be different. Well, he was the one who was saying that a lot.
Yeah.
Wow.
At a time when there were a lot of radicals,
mm-hmm.
and being a radical was not a good thing, at least in conservative circles, but he was saying, be a radical for Christ.
Yeah.
So Schaeffer would have held to the inerrancy of Scripture.
Yes, yes, gotcha. Yes.
Yeah.
And he wrote many books, great, great books, like, of course, you know this one, How Should We Then Live,
mm-hmm.
which became that video series, The Rise and Decline of Western Thought and Culture.
Mm-hmm.
Still a good book. In fact, years later, when I was in seminary, I actually rented out the videos from the library and I watched them again.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah, I watched them like a couple more times since then. Haven't watched them in like 20-some years now, but it was so still an education when you read this book.
Yeah.
Then there are books like The Great Evangelical Disaster, The Christian Manifesto. A Christian Manifesto is a great book. Trying to see right here. The God Who Is There. There's another one called He Is There and He's Not Silent.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Nicole's dad, by the way, my father-in-law, was a big Schaeffer fan. True Spirituality. That was a good book as well, True Spirituality. I have most of these in my library. So anyways, a lot of good books he wrote. Escape from Reason,
What would you say is the, I mean, we asked this question yesterday with Ari Torrey, but what would you say is the number one thing that he's most known for, or if not that, that people can draw from his life and from his example?
From Francis Schaeffer's life.
Francis Schaeffer.
I think it's, he didn't escape from the culture. He stayed in the culture, and yet he did everything he could to capture the culture.
Mm.
He didn't capture everybody in the culture. Of course, we know that. But the ones he did capture, wow.
Yeah.
What an impact he made. Generations of people, like I'm impacted by Francis Schaeffer. I never met him. I mean, shucks, I was only 11 when he died, and I was in India.
Yeah.
So I never got a chance to meet him. I'm sure my dad knew about him.
Mm-hmm.
But he impacted so many lives. And so my challenge to people is from Francis Schaeffer's life, learn to capture the culture, learn to understand where the culture is headed.
Mm-hmm.
That's important too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He was able to do that. Most of us are simply, I hate to use the word, regurgitating what we learned.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes. That's it.
Yeah.
We don't tend to see the principles, the ideas, the trends, none of that. It's just like, this is what we're hearing. This is what we're going to say.
Yeah.
I'm going with this group, so I'm going to talk like this.
Right.
And I, now this particular pastor or famous personality is my hero, so I'm just going to talk like him and act like him and believe like him and behave like him.
TikTok makes that very easy.
Yeah.
It makes it easy to find people who are saying little 30-second clips of somebody saying something seemingly profound, and all of a sudden you have young people adopting it as their new worldview.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
They don't really, and I think you and I have talked about this on the phone before, even scholars will do this thing where they find their camp.
Yeah.
And they're no longer that person. They're a mouthpiece for their ideals or for their camp.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I'm seeing people like Ari Torrey and Francis Schaeffer who, even though they're scholars, they're generalists in that they do lots of different things very well because they're true authentic selves.
Right. Yeah. Right. Now also I would say he had his struggles. He struggled with depression.
Really?
Yeah, he had bouts of depression.
Wow.
He struggled with just feeling down many times. He had kind of like these emotional outbursts and people close to him knew that. But it was just that was his struggle in life.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're not going to paint the man with some really, you know, broad brushes.
Right.
Let's just talk about him. And yes, he struggled. Nonetheless, he tried to make a big impact for Christ.
That's right.
Maybe there's somebody listening to the show today who is involved in a ministry setting, either as a pastor or on a leadership team, and they're thinking about engaging with culture and recognizing maybe some deficits in how their church is doing it. What are some ways that they can be up to date with what is happening in culture and contextualize, not change, but contextualize the message or their means of reaching people?
Well, one, listen to this show.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
that's true. That's what we're here to do.
In the Cleaver Today Show. Yeah, today, for a reason.
That's right. I mean, we're trying to capture the heart of our world, and we're trying to keep our hand on the pulse of our culture. So yeah, definitely listen to, and we'll often talk about books on this show and mention names like Francis Schaeffer. Hey, that's for a reason.
That's right.
Go read some of these books. Go educate yourself on current events. See, I would strongly urge you to ground yourself in biblical historic Christianity. Because if you don't know where we've come from, it's very hard to know where we are.
Yeah,
exactly. And I'm glad that you said that, because I think it's very easy for people to listen to episodes like this one or yesterday's and be like, well, I'm supposed to be feeling the pulse of today's culture, and you guys just talk about people from the past. But it's like you have no clue where you came from.
Right.
Right.
And if you don't know your history, if you don't know where you came from, if you don't know how God has used people up to this point,
right,
then it's like trying to jump into the middle of a book without reading the beginning of it.
That's right.
It's like, I have no clue where I'm at. I can't make an impact. Yeah. I can't enjoy this story.
If you don't know your history, today will be a mystery.
Oh, I love that.
I didn't actually.
Oh.
I
worked really hard on it.
Yeah, no, I just don't know how to proceed.
Sorry.
Well, another important part of his life is his marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Francis and Edith Schaeffer were best of friends. There would not be a Francis Schaeffer if it wasn't for Edith.
Wow.
That's true.
And because her book writing greatly impacted his life. And in fact, Nicole and I, in our first years of our marriage, we did a devotion through Francis and Edith Schaeffer's writing.
Wow.
Yeah.
We studied them.
And so, you know, read books like this. Mm-hmm. A lot of trendy books these days, but read some of these books.
Yeah. They're the classics for a reason. Yeah,
that's right.
That's awesome. Impacting the culture. So important. If you guys enjoyed today's episode, maybe you learned something about the life of Francis Schaeffer, write in and let us know, 252-582-5028. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com, and you can partner with us financially on that same website. Scroll to the bottom, click that donate button, and let us know that it's coming from our Clearview Today Show family. I want to say a big thank you to Mighty Muscadine for sponsoring this episode of the Clearview Today Show. Head over to their website, Mighty Muscadine. Muscadine.com. Check out their line of products and use the promo code TODAY, T-O-D-A-Y, on checkout. That's going to give you a discount, and a portion of those proceeds are going to come right back here to the Clearview Today Show. John, anything you want to leave our listeners with today?
Dr. Shah just mentioned his wife, Nicole. We are going to have her on the show tomorrow, starting a brand new segment right here at the very, very end of January. We were going to save it for February. We said, look, we got one more day. Why not?
Yeah.
So we're going to be talking about marriage and family. We're going to be doing that once a month right here on the Clearview Today Show. So make sure you tune in. Listening to stuff like that doesn't mean anything's wrong with your marriage. Doesn't mean you're in danger. It just means that you are investing in a wise relationship with your spouse. So we're going to be talking about that on tomorrow's show.
That's great. Make sure you guys tune in for that. We love you guys. We'll see you tomorrow on Clearview Today.